If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like to call your attention to the book of Joel, chapter 3, and verse 16. Joel, chapter 3, and verse 16. And the 16th verse reads as follows. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. We'd like to speak to you for a few moments around the theme, hope, strength, and a refuge. Hope, strength, and refuge. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Hope, strength, and a refuge. All of us that are here this morning must have a direction or some expectation. Then, once you have set your goal and your direction, then you have to have power to move in the goals that you set for yourself. Then, as you go, there are things that can come up that would deter you or turn you around or affect your progress. So you need protection along the way. All of us need direction, you know. A goal in life. Then we need strength to carry it out. Then we need protection along the way to keep us going in the direction that we would like to go. Now, if you don't realize it, I'll say it this morning, that to live in hopelessness, to have no goal, no hope, no direction. It turns them out to living death. Sister was singing a song last night. She said, "I wouldn't last a day without you." Mm-hmm. And she's singing as unto the Lord. And she said, "Lord, without you, I lose my reason for living." Amen. She said, "I wouldn't last a day without you." Amen. Amen. One of the most priceless things, possessions you have, is your hope, if you have one. To wake up in despair and go to sleep in discouragement is death. You don't hear me this morning. To just go through one disappointment after the other is a tough way of living. Amen. To be powerless in every situation that comes by. Can you imagine that? When you wake up in the morning, you long for evening. When evening comes, you long for the morning. But only to be swept from one condition to the other. Look like everything that comes up, you just get smashed. No protection, no hope, and no power. And when you look at the world today, this is the worst time to be without hope, to be without power, without protection. Isn't that right? I was going to name some situations, but we don't have to go through it all. But war everywhere, and bombing folks over there in Beirut, all this earthquakes going around. And we just sitting up here this morning. It could be us. Could be my son or your son. Could have been dead in Beirut, and we still don't know for what.
Amen.
You don't know which person's going to fall asleep on the wrong button. And no wrong button. Amen. And to be in a situation like this without hope, without strength, and without protection is a horrible way to live. To live without future prospects. To live without a reason is tough. Living in a time like this. And the lifestyle of some of the people who claim to be church folks seems to reflect more of what the world is doing than God's provision for a time like this. There's some folks in the time I've been here, Buick, some folks I hardly seen them smile once or twice in about 5 years. Amen. So just so your mouth is like acid. And I know things can get on your nerves. I know all of us go through some things, but see, there's a well down on the inside. That what people say to you and about you goes over your head. But you don't let them make a mess in your head. Amen. disciples. Don't want to mess the message up, but you just don't let church people get on your nerves.
Amen.
A good portion of them ain't going to heaven. No, I.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And you let them worry you and get you upset, and you miss what God has for you. Amen. There's some things that God has for you that are private and are personal that are between you and Him. And you want to report back here to let us know what God has done for you. And if you report back right, God will bless you more. But some of us talk about God like He put some bitter medicine in your mouth. Amen. But you see, some of us are dancing the same dance that the world's dancing. Some are going to the same places. And you are drinking from the same fountain. So you get the same results. Amen. And so when you show up for worship, you don't have a reason really to be here, except maybe out of custom or tradition, learning us to do it. But God doesn't really seek that type of worship. So one of these days when you get home, you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, where God said, who asked you to come here? Who required you to come in? Because their lifestyle did not really reflect who God is and what He's able to do. Now let me hasten on. But let us understand that everything that's happening in the world this morning is right on time. Nothing has slipped up on God. Nothing has taken Him by surprise. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. So if you think it's tough this morning, get ready. It's going to be worse until His coming. And the book of Joel that we're in this morning, see, God explains how it is to be in the last day. Remember, as I said last week, a plague of locusts had come through the country and eaten everything up. Everybody was mourning, and even the animals were troubled and nothing to eat. And God used that calamity as an illustration of how it's going to be in the last day. I tried to tell you that last week. See. You don't want to hear it, but they fooled you. See, the liberal theologian came along and told you that things are going to get better. They call them liberals in theology, see. But the Bible does not teach that. Bible teaches us that things get worse. The church was not put into the world to make the community a better place. It was to live. The church was placed here to call out from the world as many as would hear the voice of God and equip them for the day that's come. Church was not called to join the world, but to rescue people from what the world is coming to. I tried to explain it last week. If you were on an airplane, you know, and it's going down, get your parachute. If you're on a boat, look for the lifeline. But as it goes down, you better have something that can get you out of this thing here. Remember, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you don't have to call. But should you want to be delivered, he's got a name that you can call. And if you call that name, he'll save you. You can sit in your house and watch it burn to the ground and make the fire company right around the corner and not die a moment. Amen. Now, as we approach these last days, Joel speaks prophetically. He says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Mm-hmm. It says that in chapter 2, verse 26. See, what I was trying to explain last week. See, in spite of the shortages, you're going to have more potatoes than you'll be able to eat. You don't have to go on a diet. God's going to bless you. See, and he's going to satisfy you so that you can praise the name of the Lord your God. Not all of us worshiping the same God. See, but the God of the Bible is going to fix it so that you'll sing his praises in the midst of folks who don't even want to praise him. Look, amen. Some people actually are afraid to praise God in the church. Some folks don't scare your face that they want to praise God, but they just sit. Holding yourself in, because someone has you thinking that you're out of order. To get emotional about God. But the book of Psalms says it's a brutish man. It's a foolish man that doesn't praise God. Amen. I know you fools come and collect it. I don't say you have to do anything, but the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Then Paul puts it, let the word of God let. That means allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. And you let God's word rest in. See, that he's going to bless you for his name's sake. See, let me say this first. I'm not saying so. But see, some people say, oh, you preach too hard. You get too tough on the people. You know, well, talk to God, he'll talk to me. And I'm like, no. See, but you see, I'm telling you, I preach what he tells me to preach. See, the rule that you don't understand, the word of God comes at us so tight and so tough that it forces us to throw up our hands and say, Lord, I can't deal with it. Lord, it's like a noose all around my neck. I'm squirming, I can't get loose. It's burning me up. Have mercy on me. See, the purpose of the word is to drive us back to God so that his grace can pick us up. Amen. So that when the praise service begins, there'll be no question about who we want to praise. So when you have a Holy Ghost conviction, it's something that you hear from the Word that you can't handle, just say, Lord, you found me. I thank you, Lord, because I didn't see this until your Spirit Spirit pointed it out. But now they have found out that you know. And now I know. And now we know. Amen. So that I can get back to praising you. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sin. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Then, amen. Then you can right back to shout, praise it, and have a good time. But you see, you rose up in church anity. And so you hold all that gook and sit all up around your heart. It's all in your throat. That's why you can't sing. You're supposed to be smiling, but you're gritting your teeth. And you're ducking all over the pew. And mad, frustrated, irritated, and bawling out. And this will get me there, and I feel sorry for him. Let me move on, but then you get your game again. And if there's a little lamb that just praising God, they don't know you. They don't know your tricks. They don't know your strategy. You get a little lamb and push him out in the corner. Do everything you can do to crush their spirit, because you want everybody like you. Amen. I just come to tell you that heaven will be like you. I'll check my reservation. But when, in that life, but when John looked up there, everything in heaven was praising God. And the more you know about Him, the more you praise Him. Up in Bible school, the man is telling you what God is saying in the Hebrew, in the Greek, and what we read in the English just barely touches the surface, and God is multiplying blessing and grace and mercy, and they just sitting up there, and I'll be sitting in the back every few minutes. I know I had no business in the past, but He looked beyond myself, supplied my needs, and that's enough to thank you. But then He said, I haven't seen, haven't heard. Now aren't you here? That's able to do exceeding. Then He says, my people shall never be ashamed. not be ashamed to call on the name of the Lord. But in the last days, as we know the last week, the signs of the time, in the last day, the stars of the heaven, the constellations, going to just go out. The sun shall be darkened. The moon will refuse to shine. The Lord is going to punish Isaiah chapter 24. The host of the high ones, all those that exalt themselves against God, are going to be brought down. Ezekiel said, God's going to cover the heaven, make the stars dark. I'm going to cover the sun with a cloud. The moon shall not give no light. And he goes on, I'm going to vex the hearts of the people. I shall bring destruction upon the nation. The kings in the meantime, listen, it's good now. The kings shall be horribly afraid of you. This is Ezekiel 32. I'm trying to hasten it up. While everything is breaking loose in nature, the kings are going to be afraid of the people of God. See, you missed the point. God has fixed it so that you can talk with him. I mean, one man came out of the desert, walked up to Pharaoh, and said, let my people go. I'm not the Pharaoh, said, I don't rule you. He looked around to see who he represented, to see his constituency, or must be an army outside the gate. But all he saw was Moses. But when Moses and God got finished, God was glad to turn him loose. See, the world is amazed and afraid of folks who are in touch with God. They can deal with religious folks because religious folks think like people in the world. But what scares them? Oh, my, is somebody who can really get in touch with God. I hear children down there at school when they're getting difficult. They say, all right, you're going to see my brother tomorrow. And when you come out here, it's all to do, my sister will be right down here. But you in trouble, man. And I hope the Lord, I'm scared of you or your family. You know, that's how they talk, you know. That's how they talk to one another. Amen. But suppose your elder brother is Jesus. See, as things get tough, those who belong to the Lord will spend more time in prayer meetings. You don't understand me, but some of us live on jobs. You work in places where folks know what you say. And they come around to you when things get tough. They know the jive church members. Oh, yes, they do. Amen. They know the 40 deacons and 40 trustees and 40 preachers. And they grin at you and put a joke on you. But when stuff really gets tight, they want somebody that can get a prayer through. When the going gets tough, I ain't looking for no ticket to Canada or Bermuda. I don't need no banquet ticket. I don't even want to know when your anniversary is. Pray for me. And it's sort of scared of you. That's why it all hang around you so much. Let me move this night this morning. Message, I mean, I got some things we'll talk about. But that's why they don't invite you to everything, because they're scared of you. They know that you're in touch with God. Don't think you hot stuff or hot shot if they don't invite you to everything, tell you every joke, unload that garbage on you. That means they think you're one of them. But if you're a child of God, book of Matthew, he said, the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sun. In the book of Matthew, he said, the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. As all of this is going astray, break it up. Are you with me now? Suddenly, the Lord is going to appear. Are you with me now? See, for the last day, all right? Nature, see, he's called Jehovah Sabaoth. That is the Lord of hosts. He's the God who's going to use everything that he's created to bring his purposes to pass. I mean, those same birds that you're stepping on now and just let out the house, God's going to use them to torment you. No smoke won't stop in the next day. That's right. Locusts, all kinds. See, he will create the stuff to torment man. Amen. Because man has rejected the Lord. I hope I'm in the right church this morning. See, when you start the service by singing praise God from whom all blessings flow, everything that God created praises Him, but us, we have to be recreated in Christ to praise Him. This God gets the praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we praise Him, we're praising God. No, you don't hear. See, a man's greatest sin is that the praise that belongs to the Creator, he turns and gives to the creation. The altar in our heart and life that belongs to God, you put self on the throne. And see, the devil will compromise you. See, are you with me now? Come on, stay with me now. See, he got kicked out of heaven because Lucifer wanted the praise that went to God. He wanted it for himself. So Lucifer, if he can, will cause us to praise him. That's Lucifer. If he can't get you to praise himself, he will settle for you praising yourself. Amen. See, now we know how you feel. If somebody came in your house, walked through the front door, went in your icebox, ate up your food, put their feet up on your living room furniture, just left the garbage on there, didn't even say good morning, sir, good afternoon, ma'am, ate up all your food, and then walked out. You be a hot somebody. Well, we living in a house that God made, eating up his food, breathing his air, then come down too lazy to say thank you, Jesus. Give you a reasonable portion of your health and your strength. But you won't even say praise the Lord. You can't even get your tongue together to say hallelujah. And all hallelujah means is praise the Lord. You know what I mean? So God was so concerned about it that he sent his Son to bless, save, and sanctify so that throughout the ages to come, he would have a group of people in heaven beside him who just day in and day out would just be praising him. Come by. They need to know what you're singing.
hell. He's expecting you to worship at his feet. After he gives you his diagnosis, he says, "Well, doctor, I heard you, but I got another doctor. I got to talk it over with him." Oh, my God. He doesn't like it. And the world sister doesn't like you because of who you're looking to. Amen. So they'll persecute you. They'll preach you. As soon as you're going to say ouch, then when you say ouch, oh, I knew it all the time. They want to, oh, you don't hear me to feel, but they want to prove that you're just like them. They'll say stuff to you to just purposely egg you on, get you to say something that will deny your testimony. They're trying to get you to deny the Lord. Amen. And when they push you to the corner, when your back's to the wall, sometimes you just have to level off. Tell them, "You might have me now. I might look like a sheep fit for the slaughter. But I want you to know something. In all my faults and failures, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I don't care what you say or do. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God." Impatient with me. I got some faults and failures, but God is not through with me yet. But when he gets through, I shall come forth. Don't look at me now. Just wait a while.
Armageddon is the awesome prince
Now this is new for you now, but there's going to be a battle between the armies of the earth and the Lord Jesus Christ and His second coming. It's going to be a decisive battle to see who is going to rule the world. The word Armageddon means the mountain of Megiddo. It's on the north side of Jezreel, and it's in the Old Testament, it's a military stronghold between Samaria and Galilee. The word Armageddon is found only in the book of Revelation, chapter 16 and verse 16. Armageddon is the appointed place where the world powers will be brought to judgment. Armageddon is a showdown. It's between the superpowers. The Russians, the United States, China, France, Germany, all of the nations will be lined up against the Lord Jesus Christ. Armageddon is not a nuclear holocaust. It has nothing to do with the bombs that the Russians or the United States could let loose at one another. Armageddon is a snare. It's an ambush in which God is going to catch His enemy. Well, now I have you out on a limb. See, God wants your praise, but you won't give it to Him. The gods of this world have blinded your eyes. Oh, you praise God in a basketball game. You go off on football. Just got to see the world serious. But when you come in here, it's like you don't know who to pray. And that those that belong to the Lord know who to pray. And when they do praise Him, they get on your nerves. But your animosity, your irritability, your frustration is but a small part of what the world thinks about sex. So that in the last day, while they're starving, you're eating. While they're in shortage, your cup runs over. And instead of you praising the politician or the Antichrist, you're going to do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They refused to bow down. They said, we'll go in the furnace rather than bow down on Nebuchadnezzar. And then he said, our God is able. Now he may not want to bring us out the furnace, but he's able. When he got in the furnace, the fourth one met them in the heat. In the last days, they're going to try to put God's people in a furnace of persecution. Because when the music sounds, when the celebration comes, instead of you bowing to the gods of the world, you just stand up and you won't bow down. But when you get in your little storefront, your little station, when you get your super closet, you go out in praise and honor to the true and living God. So what God's going to do is cause the nations of the world to come against Israel. Are you with me on that? They were to have Israel all circled up in Jerusalem. The armies of the Antichrist are going to have God's people surround. Are you hearing me? They'll be looking to bring a death blow on God's people. And just when they're about to make their final assault, a sign is going to appear in the heaven. The Lord Jesus is going to appear suddenly. We blessing will come when the blesser is here. Oh, my. Oh, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life we have hope in Christ, only we are all men most miserable. You got to have a hope. Romans 5:2 says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Are you with me here now? Hope of Romans 12:12 says rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in instant in prayer, in no rush. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, when somebody is experiencing death in the family, Paul says, but I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If you don't have a hope, you go off in the food of yourself. But because you know a trumpet is going to sound, and because you know that the dead in Christ are going to get up, you have a hope on the inside. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm sorry to get so excited on you this morning, but the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. You don't have to go to Jerusalem looking for Jesus, because he's not there. He's risen. He's up with all power in his hands. We've got a living hope. You don't have to go to Mecca. You don't have to go to Rome. He's right here. He's right here. You don't hear me this morning. But you see, when we take advantage of the living hope, something happens in our life. I got to quit now, but hope produces patience. Hope produces salvation. Hope produces courage. Hope produces assurance. Hope makes your life stable. Hope makes you pure. Hope just changes your life. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be righteous, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need a hope. And you need strength. Your hope is in Christ. Our strength is in Christ. But while you have a hope, while you have strength, you need a rescue, a place of protection. You need a foxhole. You need a bomb shelter. You need a roof over your head. You need some kind of protection in that life. Stay with me now. I'm going to let you go. But you better have a vision in the last days. I don't know what your refuge is. I don't know what your hope is. I don't know where your strength is. But I come to tell you something. Sit a man. Go to sleep this morning if you want to. Make easy in Zion if you want to. But there's a song